Good morning, everyone. This morning, we turn to the book of Leviticus. And I think, although reading all of Leviticus may be a bit of a challenge for you, I do think it will bless you. I think, for me, reading the book of Leviticus early on in my journey, I literally think it changed my life. I feel like, you know, I started reading through the Bible, gosh, when I was very early believer, reading through the whole thing. And I would say humbly that I think very few people have probably read the book of Leviticus. You know, when I say very few in number, of course, there's lots of people throughout the world that have done it. But the common Christian, I guess is what I'm trying to say, probably rarely has read through the entire book of Leviticus. And what it does is it shows us incredibly why Jesus needed to die for us. Why did we need a lamb? And why did someone have to die? Now, we've seen the great symbolism, if you've been following our podcast, of the fact that Jesus died on Passover. And that is one of the great symbols, that Jesus died on that one special day as our lamb, just like they sacrificed that lamb and put the blood of the lamb over their doorpost. Jesus died on Passover to save us. But the other great symbolism comes from the book of Leviticus and the sacrificial system. And, you know, at our church, I don't joke much, but, you know, sometimes my joke is no one brought their lamb to church anymore. And you know, although we live in a new covenant now, and this is part of the old covenant, so this book that we're about to read is part of the Mosaic covenant. It's part of the law. It's called the Old Testament law, which God gave Moses at Mount Sinai, back when the Israelites were in the desert after they had been set free from Egypt. And we're not under the law anymore. But yet, Christianity is built upon the foundation of the Old Testament. The New Covenant, which is the New Christian Covenant, and the latter, you know, third of your Bible, so to speak, is built on the foundation of the understanding of the Old Covenant, which is the first two-thirds, so to speak, of your Bible. And in that, there was a sacrificial system for atonement. So in order to be in right standing before God, when you failed to live to the law, when a person didn't live honorably up to God's law, which, you know, we have a tendency to do, you know, we're imperfect as humans, so we have a hard time following everything God says. Well, in the Old Testament, when you did that, you'd bring an offering to the tabernacle of God as a way of having your sin atoned for. But it wasn't a once and for all thing. It was something that you would do repeatedly. It's not like you did it every day, although there were sacrifices that took place daily at the tabernacle on behalf of all of Israel. You would bring your offering as you felt you needed to in regards to your sin before God, and then you'd be made right before God. Well, this system we're reading about has been done away with because God sent Jesus to be the once and for all final sacrifice. But, you know, here's a great question. Why did Jesus have to die? Why did someone need to die to forgive me? I think a lot of the world is puzzled or doesn't really understand that question. Well, Leviticus brings the understanding of that question into full picture. So I just encourage you, you know, some books of the Bible are harder maybe to read or enjoy than other books of the Bible. But I'm telling you, you're blessed to know the whole Bible. It takes a whole Bible to make a whole Christian. So I ask you for some toughness and for some stick-to-itness. And I'm telling you, I've been so blessed by being a whole Bible Christian and a whole Bible pastor. And I know you will be too. So just stick with it. And we have a lot to learn together. Hallelujah. Now, if you recall where we were in the book of Exodus, something amazing happened when the book of Exodus came to a close. God's presence came to dwell inside the tabernacle while the Israelites were in the desert. You know, before that, he was showing his presence off on Mount Sinai, but now his spirit came and dwelt in their camp, and they all camped around this tabernacle structure. You might recall it had a fence all around it, and there was a courtyard in the inner part of the fenced area, and then there was a tent or tabernacle, where a two-part tent where there was a holy place and a most holy place, and God's presence was on the other side of the veil of the most holy place. I'll probably post a picture again of the tabernacle structure and tent and fence in this podcast so that you could look at it again. But that's everyone would camp around that, and that's where they made offerings to God. And we're going to see that introduced right away. Now, where did this book come from? If you go all the way to the end of the book, I'll just take you there. You don't necessarily have to turn. But in the last verse of this book, it says, "These are the commandments which the Lord commanded Moses for the sons of Israel at Mount Sinai." So this is a word from our God that was given to Moses, which then became part of the law, the first five books of the Bible. And here we are. So it was largely, this book is largely about the sacrificial system and how to be made holy before God, how to be made right before God, how to, God's a holy God, and what are holy God's requirements to abide in him? And the sacrifices allowed them to be right before him. So with no further ado then, let's go to Leviticus 1. I'll probably be covering this book more quickly than, you know, some of the other books we've been covering. "Then the Lord called to Moses and spoke to him from the tent of meeting, saying, 'Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, when any man of you brings an offering to the Lord, you shall bring your offering of animals from the herd or the flock.'" And as we'll see, there were different types of offering and also different things you could bring to be offered. And some of it had to do with what your financial ability was to be able to do it. A poor man wouldn't be able to, you know, have a massive herd animal to give. They couldn't even afford one. So they might bring a bird or something like that. But if his offering is a burnt offering from the herd, he shall offer it a male without defect. And, you know, we're going to see this so many times, so we don't have to, we won't have to cover it every time. But when you would bring an animal, you couldn't bring, and you maybe would be attracted to do this, to bring like your most crippled animal or an animal that, you know, maybe wouldn't reproduce as well. But you were supposed to bring an animal without defect. That was the way. You couldn't dishonor God by bringing, you know, a broken, wounded, or sick animal. You're supposed to bring one without defect. And what that points to is Jesus, because he was without sin. And God sacrificed him as the unblemished Lamb of God. He was without defect. And that's why he was able to take our sin. So you had to bring your best offering to God as far as you're an animal in your herd. "And he shall offer it at the doorway of the tent of meeting." So the offerer, say you, would bring this animal to the fence, the gate of the fence, that he may be accepted before the Lord. So you bring it there, and you'd lay your hand on the head of the burnt offering, that it may be accepted for him to make atonement on his behalf. And this is incredible. I mean, you would actually feel that animal die. Now, you know, this is kind of weird, I guess I'll say, for like us in today's day and age, because most of us have never, you know, killed a cow or something like that. You know, we've never sacrificed our own animal. I mean, some of us are deer hunters, so, you know, we have killed a deer and, you know, and processed that deer. So it's a little bit, I guess you can understand it a little bit better. But in that day, remember, there's not grocery stores like there was today. There's not refrigeration like there is today. And it was very common to process an animal. I mean, if you wanted to eat, you processed your own animal. You know, now they probably had markets, but, you know, they did have markets, I'm sure, in the cities where you could go and other people have done it and then you'd pay more for it. But it was a very, very common thing to process your own animal. I mean, my wife, her grandparents have passed away, but they had a farm and in our area, and, you know, even they had processed some of their own chickens, and Kelly can even remember that back in the day, grandma processing chickens and cutting the head off of the chicken. And so for us, it's kind of like we're not used to this, but you have to put yourself in the era that this was done. It's a very common thing. It's not unusual at all. So you'd lay your hand on the head of the burnt offering, that it may be accepted for him to make atonement on his behalf, and you shall slay the young bull before the Lord, and you'd feel that bull die. And, you know, someone died, something died, in order to atone for your sin. So you felt, in a sense, the consequence of your offering or your sin in the death of this animal. So you do this at the gate, and Aaron's sons, the priests, shall offer up the blood and sprinkle the blood around the altar that is at the doorway of the tent of meeting. He shall then skin the burnt offering and cut it into pieces. Obviously, the animal would weigh a lot, so you got to cut it into pieces. The sons of Aaron, the priests, shall put fire on the altar and arrange the wood on the fire. Then Aaron's sons, the priests, shall arrange the pieces, the head and the suet, over the wood which is on the fire that is on the altar. Now, this was a burnt offering, meaning it was a voluntary offering that you gave because of sin, or a person gave because of sin, and the whole thing was burnt. Now, the priests kept the skin in this case, but not all the offerings were this way. Sometimes the priest would get to eat the food, and sometimes it would be a celebratory offering, and you'd get to share in the food. But this particular one was a full-fledged offering, and all of it would be burnt. It was a sacrifice. So then Aaron's sons, the priests, shall arrange the pieces and the head and the suet over the wood which is on the fire that is on the altar. Its entrails, however, and its legs he shall wash with water. And the priest shall offer up and smoke all of it on the altar for a burnt offering, an offering of fire, of a soothing aroma to the Lord. And I'm sure it smelled great cooking that meat over the fire. Now, here's what would happen if it was not someone who could afford that. But if his offering is from the flock of the sheep or of the goats for a burnt offering, he shall offer it a male without defect. He shall lay it on the side of the altar northward before the Lord, and Aaron's sons, the priest, shall sprinkle its blood around the altar. He shall then cut it in pieces with its head and its suet, and the priest shall arrange them on the wood which is on the fire of the altar. And moving forward, there's one other option for a burnt offering, and that is for an offering of a bird. And you could bring a turtle dove or a pigeon. Now, this is what Mary and Joseph brought as an offering on Jesus' behalf. They brought the least valuable offering, turtle doves or young pigeons, for their offering. And that indicated that Mary and Joseph were poor when they made an offering as a substitute for Jesus, because you were supposed to offer your firstborn to the God, but God allowed for you, instead of offering your firstborn, obviously, to give to God, you would instead offer a sacrifice and thank God for your firstborn. And this was always a reflection of the fact that God saved all the firstborn in Israel on Passover, but the Egyptian Pharaoh lost his firstborn son. So from that point on, you always honored God with your firstborn child, and you'd make an offering for your firstborn child. So that's what Mary and Joseph did, and they brought the least expensive of offerings, showing their wealth. But anyways, the priest shall bring it to the altar, and you know, now they're gonna do the same kind of thing with the birds as they did with the other types of offerings, and it's a soothing aroma for the Lord. So, you know, we're gonna see this, and we'll capture more details as we go. But this is God desired, in order to make you right before Him when you sin, that you'd bring an offering. And hallelujah, ultimately, Jesus is the once and final offering, and that's why we don't have these sacrifices anymore. But we will pick up beautiful nuggets as we go. But this answers a lot of questions, this book. Why did Jesus have to die? And He died to make us right, and this is how they were made right before God. God bless you all.